I'm going to try to keep this short today because I realize what time it is already. I want to let you in on a little secret that it's been a secret that really I've kept from Adam even until in this past week. Diane has pretty much been the only one who has known about this, but I don't know if you know what and it has a good ending, so I always like to say that before you, I don't want to keep you in suspense until the ending, but some of you young people, I know how it's going to sound. I remember when I bowled with a bunch of old men and they always talked about stress tests and stuff, and I always thought, man, I'm hanging out with a bunch of old men. But I don't know if you know what a PSA number is, but a PSA number, and most of you older men are going to know, my age and older, that's a number that they keep a check on when you get a certain age, and it talks about a certain part of your body that you might have a problem there. Well, about a year and a half ago, my number went up pretty significantly. It had been really good, and I have my blood work checked all the time because I'm diabetic. If I weren't for that, I'd never have my blood work checked. But I highly recommend that you do. But my number went up pretty high. And then I didn't even mention it to my doctor. I mean, I got my blood work checked on my own. And then the next time, it was down a little bit. And then the next time it was, and so this is over months and months. Next time it was up significantly, and it was up higher than, and by significantly, it was like almost 6, I think, or 5 point something. It's supposed to be below 1.0. And so so I had a biopsy scheduled at Morgantown. I went in a week before that, had blood work done for a biopsy, and the doctor said, well, your number's down. This was like 4 months ago. So he said, your number's down. It wasn't down all the way, but it was down significantly. And he said, I don't think we need to do a biopsy. And so I said, okay. So he said, come back in 3 months. We'll check your blood work again. So 3 months ago was like 2 weeks ago. I went back, and it's 0.8, which is awesome. It's right where it should be. Now, he said, I don't have any clue why you had this spike and why it's back down now. And so, it's not like, I mean, I didn't even tell Adam because we didn't know anything. And so I only told Adam last week after I think I know something. And the doctor said, if it was cancer, he said, it would be almost unheard of that it would drop back down like that. And without getting into how they check your do a physical check on you or anything, and you older people already know this, Colin, you probably don't even know. You bend over and sing Moon River. And that's how I heard it described to me when I was young, and I got the gist of it. And so I think I'm okay. You may not think so. But I think I'm okay. I have another appointment. He said since it was down to normal now, I have an appointment in 6 months, and that's part of the reason that I went and took the boys and I went to Key West in January. And when we went to Key West, by the way, I didn't miss a Sunday. We left on Monday, got back early Saturday, and Saturday afternoon I was in here in church doing the bulletin and getting ready for Sunday morning. But part of the reason I took the boys to Key West, Diane and I took the boys to Key West in January, was because I didn't know if I was dying or not. I didn't know if I had cancer, and I thought, well, if I do, I'm not going to waste a minute. And so it's one of the reasons that we went to Haiti, was because I thought, well, I don't know. Now, when we went to Haiti, by the time we went to Haiti, I knew my number was back down. And I tell you all this to share this with you, and that one of the reasons that I haven't really been focusing on the building is because I thought, if I've got cancer, that's going to throw everything into a little bit of a tailspin for me and everybody. So, but I think I'm okay. And so now I can tell you that we will begin focusing on the building a little bit. And it's also a reminder to you guys that you need to have a lot of grace with me, because you don't know what's going on in my life, do you? Really? And I need to have a lot of grace with you. But I mean, your job is not to know about everything that's going on in my life, and but my job is more to know about you, and my job is more to care for you. And some of you may think, no, your job, I mean, you know, it's our job to care for you too, but I can't be, you know, I don't know. So I tell you this to tell you that I wanted to talk for a few minutes this morning about the end times. Because, see, I'm thinking about this. It's that Tim McGraw song, Live Like You Were Dying, right? Does anybody think about that when I'm talking? It's an awesome song. And it's so true. We just need to live like that. We need to live because we don't know what tomorrow holds. And it doesn't even... Man, has anybody read this book called Pilgrim's Progress? No. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm going to do a sermon series through that book. It's a book that a guy wrote. And if you want to get it and read it, I highly recommend it. Between my last year and a half, and between what's going on in Baltimore, I'm just thinking about, you know, every generation has thought, oh, this is the end. It doesn't get much worse than this. I mean, did anybody say that 50 years ago? Yeah? When you got married 46 years ago, were old people, because you were young people then, were old people saying, oh, the world's going to hell. There's Elvis. Right? Isn't that what Elvis did? Forrest Gump did that too. Oh, Forrest Gump taught Elvis. That's right. I saw the movie. The world's going to hell. I mean, the truth is, it is. The truth is that the world is on a path of destruction. Think of it like, in my scripture, let me go ahead and just so you can say, yeah, I preach from a scripture. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. You think times are bad now, and they might be, but Paul's writing a letter to the Corinthians, and he's going, this is a letter to Timothy, but in a letter that Paul writes to the Corinthians, he's writing and he's saying, if it were up to me, I would just leave here and forget you people. The city of Corinth, every night they would have 1,000 prostitutes come down off of the hill and go out into the city. It was pretty bad. That'd be pretty bad if that happened in your community, wouldn't it? It was a bad place. And Paul said, if it were up to me, I would just leave here and forget you all. But he said, the Lord won't let me do that. And I'm not saying that about you all. I'm saying that every generation has thought this could be the end, because it's pretty bad. So Paul writes to Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Check. Do you know they say cupcakes are so popular because it's all about me, it's all mine, I don't have to share it with anybody else? Did you know that? Sociologists say, and psychiatrists say that cupcakes are so popular. People will pay as much for a cupcake, $4 for a cupcake, and you could pay $5.99 for a little cake. But if you pay $5.99 for that little cake, what do you have to do? Share it. I can pay $4 for this cupcake, and it's all mine, and you ain't getting none. You might give one bite to Maddox, but definitely not to Maddie. Just kidding. Men will be lovers of themselves. Check. Lovers of money. Can we check that one off? Check. Boasters. Can we check that one off? Not any of you, but proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, unforgiving. Can we check that one off? Slanderers. You know what a slanderer is? Someone who speaks ill about another person. Can we check that one off? Oh, Lord, forgive us. Without self-control. Can we check that one off? Brutal. Despisers of good. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. This is my New King James Version. I could have put out the Good News Version, and it would have been maybe more appropriate terms for us to understand. But lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Can we check that one off? Sounds like a bunch of ninth graders. Welcome to the church. Welcome to the world, right? Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Wait a second, I thought we were supposed to get those people saved. It says, from such people, turn away. That ends our scripture today. I've never been a world's going to end any minute kind of preacher. I mean, anybody who tells you when the world's going to end, they're a liar. Because Scripture clearly says that nobody knows. Jesus even said when he was here and the disciples asked him, he said, only the Father knows. Now, does Jesus know now? Yes, because he and the Father are one and he's with the Father now. But nobody knows when the world's going to end. But there's a Scripture from Revelation. It says, the first angel, Revelation 8:7, listen to this. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were hurled to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up. You hearing me? There came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were hurled to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. Now, I don't want to scare any little kids. This is probably going to happen how old are you? I have to do that too. I have to think, what year was I born? Okay, I'm 53. 13. And how old? Pressure's on. 12. 12. 11. You know why I'm not a world's going to end any minute kind of preacher? Because world's going to end any minute kind of preachers, that grows like, man, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. The disciples said, when Paul writes, don't even get married, I know I'm going to, I don't know what I'm going to do. I should have just said I'm not preaching today. I'm going to save this for next week because I may do part two next week. I don't know. When 2,000 years ago, when Paul is writing, and he writes to people, don't get married. Don't waste your time getting married. And a lot of people today would say, amen. Don't even date the bum. No, Paul's saying don't get married because Jesus is coming back. There's no sense getting married. When he left and went up in the clouds, after he rose from the dead, then he went up in the clouds, and they said, he's coming back, and they thought, they're going like this. Well, it's 3 o'clock. They're looking at their iPhones and going, it's noon, wonder what time he's coming back. For 2,000 years, do you understand how much time that is? Like, it's even older than your mom and dad. It's older than your grandma. It's like, barely. It's like ancient. It's like, great, 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 great. Odds are, in your lifetime, Jesus isn't coming back. But could it happen tonight? Yeah, it could. If he does, do you have anything to be worried about? Odds are, something's going to happen to you before Jesus comes back. But in this, a third of the earth is wiped out. Can you imagine when, excuse me, when this was written, can you imagine how difficult that would be to comprehend? Think about it. Is it difficult to comprehend today? No. It's not, is it? A third of the vegetation being wiped out, is that difficult to comprehend? It's nuclear weapons. A third of them wiped out. You have to have this mark to buy and sell. 2,000 years ago, when this is written, would that be almost impossible to comprehend? How are we going to? What's the mark going to be? Now is it hard to comprehend? No. Man, they can track everything. If they're interested, they can look at satellites to see that you came to church today, if they were interested. They're tracking us right now with this. They know everywhere you go when you have a cell phone. It's going to be very easy to say you have to have this to buy and sell. And so, while I don't think Jesus is coming right back, I also think that we can't ignore the topic because we have to make sure that young people are aware that one day, everybody keeps praying for peace and praying things get better. I've got bad news for you. The Bible says it's going to keep getting worse. It's going to keep getting worse. And you know what we do? We pluck. Someone, I read this post the other day, or I read something in a book the other day. It said that, I can't remember what it said. Some people want to do this, but this person said, what I want to do is I want to be as close to the gates of hell as I can get, plucking people who are on their way in out from there. How awesome is that? That's what they want. They want to be standing at the gates of hell, plucking people out who are on their way in there. That's our job as the church. The world is going to hell. That's the bad news. The good news is that you don't have to. Amen? The good news is you don't have to. I'm going to end with this illustration. Man, I got so much more I want to cover today, but I can't. I want to end with this illustration, though. And some of you have heard it before. It's what I explained to this girl in Haiti who knew nothing about, just heard of Jesus. I've heard of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Didn't that amaze you? Oh, you weren't out there with us that time, but you heard about it. Cullen, were you out there? Do you know Jesus? Well, I've heard of him. And I said, the best way I can explain it to you is that everybody's trying to get to God, but there is a God who came to you. There is a God who came, because you could never make it to him, he came to you. And he came in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross for you so that when this world ends, if you're a Christian and this world ends, do you have to worry about it? No. No worries. No worries. But we live like we're never going to die, we're never going to face judgment, and Jesus never coming back, don't we? That's how we live. Janet, I'm guessing that you live a little different now than you did a year and a half ago, don't you? It puts in perspective what's important in life and what's not. And Missy, your trip to Haiti did that for you, didn't it? And Colin, your trip to Haiti did that. And Annie, and Ellen, and whoever else went to Haiti. What's important? That's the question that I leave you with today. Let me pray. God, I thank you so much for this time together that you have prompted me to remind this congregation and perhaps those listening to a CD in a nursing home or online, that you have prompted me to remind these people of what's important. Things that in 100 years will have made no difference are not important. And it's not that teaching a child to ride a bike is not important. We understand that. But God, some of the petty things that you have us concerned with, when we start worrying about petty things, I pray that you would just help us to remember that Jesus is coming back one day, and the fact that we can choose you or not choose you, that's the kind of important stuff. Raising Christian children, Lord, that's important stuff. Reaching the lost, ministering to those who have less than we do, and we just give you thanks and praise for the many ways you remind us, and some ways are tough, Lord. Like Janet's way is tough, and Missy's way is a little easier, but still tough to take. In that, we're reminded of what you've blessed us with, and how we take for granted and don't appreciate all that you've given us. So for that, Lord, please accept our apology. We confess that we have not been grateful for our many blessings. We confess that we can be selfish, that we can care too much about money and care too much about things, and for this we apologize. And we admit that we even take Jesus for granted and his gift of eternal life that he has made available to each one of us. So for anyone here today, God, who feels like for the first time ever that they want to say yes to Jesus and they want to be in heaven with you one day and live a life for you, I pray that you would hear their confession. Lord, forgive me. I accept and believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, and that that pays for my sin and washes me clean. And Lord, I thank you. And I want you to be mine, and I want to be yours. And for the rest of us, Lord, who do call ourselves yours, we thank you for the reminders that you send us once in a while, that this life and this earth are fleeting, and we love it when you remind us to focus on you a little more. So we pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.